Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford on the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose up upon him, and as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin. The Lord's Prayer, the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is wills will done? Hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. But when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. Our epistle reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing the verse for Lent.
To the Lord.
The Holy Gospel from Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. "My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begging him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to give the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. That's all right. Good morning. Great to see you guys this morning. Do you guys know what a promise is? What's a promise? What happens when somebody says, "I promise"? Good morning, Maddie. Your mom's the boss? I don't know if that's a promise or not, but when somebody makes a promise, they make a vow. They say, "I will do this." Can you think of promises that people have made to you? Maybe mom or dad has promised that if you clean your room, they'll do something for you, give you allowance or something. That might be a promise.
Yeah, we start at my dad's house. We started doing chores for fake money.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We could buy candy.
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of an economy, but kind of a promise too.
And then it stopped.
Has God made any promises to us?
Many?
Can you think of any promises that God has made to us? He made a promise of a Savior. He made a promise of forgiveness of sins. That's right, in Jesus. God made a promise that every time we pray, what's God going to do? God's going to hear, and He's going to answer. Every single time we pray, God promises He hears our prayers, and He will answer. God had made another promise to us. He promised that He would send us somebody to help us. Who was that?
Jesus.
And not just help us with every day, but help us.
With
yeah. And then Jesus, when He got here, He promised, He said, "I will be caught by evil men. I will be crucified on a cross. I will die, and I will rise again on the third day." He promised that over and over to the disciples. Did Jesus keep His promise?
Yes.
He did, because we know He rose again on the third day. So God keeps His promises, doesn't He?
Of course
He does. He promises to hear us when we pray. He promised to send us Jesus. He did. Jesus promised He would die and rise, and He did. And there's even more promises that God has made to you. You know what they are? Let's go over to the baptismal font. Right here, in this ordinary water and God's word combined together, God made at least three promises to you. Any idea what those promises are? God promised that right here in this water, that He connected you to Jesus. So at the beginning of baptism, remember this? We make the sign of the Holy Cross. You want to make that sign with me? Put your finger in there. And then we go, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And in that water and the word, we have this: God placed the sign of the cross both upon the forehead and upon the heart. You see right here, God promised that this water and His word connects us to Jesus. He made a promise. He connects us to Jesus, and we are forgiven. He made a promise that right here, that one day when we die, He's got a place already prepared for us in heaven, and we're going to go be with Him. And the other promise that He gave us is He promised that right here in baptism, He gives us faith to to believe that what God said is true. So if God makes a promise, is it going to be true?
Yeah.
Is God going to keep his promises? He does. Every time we pray, he listens and he answers. He promised a Savior and he gave us Jesus. Jesus promised that he would die and forgive our sins and rise again. Did Jesus do that?
Yeah.
He did. So every promise God makes is true. And God promises all of us that he's with us always, every day, wherever we go. Those are great promises. And they're promises from God. And we know God's promises are true. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? You pray with me? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for your promises.
Thank you for your promises.
Thank you for forgiving us.
Thank you for forgiving us.
And being with us always.
And being with us always.
In your name.
In your name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here. And we continue with our hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises given to us. We thank you, Father, that you keep your promises no matter what we see or feel or experience in this world. Strengthen us now, Father, by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's easy to trust God when life is good, isn't it? When everything is going your way, when you've got a great job, your family is healthy, everything is working well, the stock market's up, what an easy time to say, God is good, and I trust him, and he will continue to keep his promises. But what happens when life isn't good? What happens when you're struggling? What happens when you have those doubts and you wonder, Is God listening? Is he there? Because this is certainly not what I expected. It's always easy when things are good. It's a lot harder to say God is good when things around us aren't. What happens when we pray and we pray and we pray and God is silent? He doesn't seem to be listening. What happens when we pray and God says no? And we're disappointed or devastated by what we've prayed for that didn't happen. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus encounters a Canaanite woman. She's an outsider as far as matters of faith go. It would appear that, at least according to the law, that she had no right to approach Israel's Savior, Jesus, and ask for anything. That didn't stop her. She cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." She petitions Jesus directly. And it seems, well, Jesus seems downright rude. Jesus didn't respond at all. She cried to the disciples. Jesus seems to respond, "Not my problem." She knelt right before Jesus and she said, "Lord, help me." And Jesus brushes her off, saying, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The Canaanite woman came to Jesus with her greatest need. She wasn't praying for herself. She was praying for her daughter, who was severely oppressed by a demon. She was asking for mercy for her suffering daughter. And Jesus seemed to give her the cold shoulder. He brushed her off. He insulted her. And he didn't give her the mercy that she was after. What do we do with that? Is that the Jesus that we worship? Is that the Jesus we see in the rest of the scripture? Well, the first thing is we have to realize that God doesn't always tell us the whole plan. If you remember the beginning of the book of Job, we get the inside track. We know that Job is being tested. We know that God and Satan are having a conversation, and God trusts Job's faith so much, he says to Satan, "Go ahead. Test him, but you can't take his life." And Satan does everything he can to get Job to denounce God. He takes away his property. He takes away his family. He takes away his health. Now you and I know what's going on. We know Job is being tested. Job doesn't know that. He's right in the middle of this, suffering and struggling. All he sees is loss. And he doesn't know he's being tempted. In the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "And lead us not into temptation." And then Luther goes on to remind us of this: God tempts no one. Our good and loving God doesn't tempt us to sin or doubt, but he does test us. He does test our faith. The Canaanite woman that Jesus seemed to be so rude to, so uncaring toward, she was being tested. What would she do when she didn't get the answer that she was praying for? What would she do when she cried to Jesus for mercy and Jesus was rude to her? Would she go back and worship the false gods in the land of Canaan? Would she walk away saying, "He's rude, I can't believe I trusted in him"? Would she walk away from faith completely? She didn't. She believed that Jesus was merciful. She believed what God had promised in his word. She believed that Jesus would do what the scripture promised. Her faith hung on the very words and promises of God, no matter what she heard or how she was treated. Hear that again, because that is so important for us in the world we live in today. The Canaanite woman's faith hung on the very words and promises of God, no matter what she heard or how she was treated. In this terrible situation, her daughter was suffering from demon depression, demon oppression, and the woman would not be put off. She would not let anything get in the way of what God promised her. She held fast to what God promised to his people. She wasn't put off by her nationality that should have excluded her. She wasn't put off by the disciples wanting her to go away. She wasn't even put off by Jesus himself when he says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She responded in humble faith. "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She passed the test. She continued to trust in God and his word, no matter what the external circumstances of her life showed her. Hear how Jesus responded back to her and her faith that continued to cling to the promises. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. There are times in all of our lives when we are tested. When we pray and God is silent. When we pray and God says no. And he takes our loved one home to be with him instead of healing them like we'd prayed. The test of all of our faith, it really comes down to this. Are you trusting in Jesus and all of his promises that he has made to you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing? Or are you letting your emotions define your faith life? A large part of Christianity today is driven by worship experience, by mountaintop emotions. And when faith and emotion are intimately tied together, it sets you up for disaster. As long as all is well in your world, as long as everything is great, it's easy to say God is good. But what happens when the rug is pulled out from under you? What happens when you lose your job unexpectedly? What happens when you hear from the doctor malignant and there is no treatment? What happens when you pray and God is silent? Or when we hear of war and hunger, and then suddenly that becomes our reality? What happens when you realize you have no one to blame except yourself? You're the murderer. You're the adulterer. You're the sinner. Now what do you do? If your faith is tied completely to your emotions, it would be easy to see how God is not there. He's not listening. It would cause you to wonder if God exists at all. Or maybe run off to worship some other god that seems to be listening more. The Canaanite woman's faith rested solely in the promises of God's word and in the mercy of Jesus. When everything around her was sending her away, saying no to her, she trusted in the promises of God and his mercy in Jesus. That's what Jesus was looking for when he was testing her. And that's what he found. Her faith was centered in God being merciful through Jesus. Dear saints, hear these promises. These are just a few of the promises in the scripture that God has made for you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Do you hear the promise? It's not conditional on how you're doing. It's not conditional on your emotions. It's not conditional on everything in your life is fine and going well. It's a promise. I will, God says, I will be with you always, everywhere, in every situation. Jesus promises he is always with us in the good and the easy days, in the days of discouragement and disappointment. Even in the days when you feel empty and alone, this promise is true. This promise is for you. This promise is Jesus' mercy in action. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing, God's promise is true. I am with you always. There's another promise that comes out of Matthew. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This promise is an open door invitation for you. There is rest in Jesus. There's peace, knowing that he has accomplished everything he set out to do. He keeps his promises to us. He will keep his promise to you, to be with you, and that you will find peace from your suffering. There's another promise. It's a promise that comes out of the psalmist, and it's really kind of a promise in action. The psalmist cries out, "Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary." It's the same cry of the Canaanite woman. It's the same cry for us when we're struggling and we're suffering and we cry out to God to listen and answer. And hear how the psalmist responds back to that just a few verses later. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard my voice, the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield." The psalmist's cry is the Canaanite woman's cry. It's our cry as well. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard our cries for mercy, and he mercies us in Jesus." The cross, the grave, the forgiveness of all of your sins are a mighty promise that God made, that Jesus fulfilled and gave to you. We are forgiven. There is peace and rest and promise in Jesus. No matter what the world says, no matter what your emotions are experiencing, no matter what everyone and every situation is that's bearing down upon you, they do not change the promises of God. You are his. You are protected and promised, and he will be with you always. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.